Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman, here with my co-host, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Thanks for having me.
Also joined again by Stephen Schultz from Schultz & Myers Law Firm. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you, Doug.
So you guys are a personal injury firm. So you guys handle, we were talking about boating, we talked a lot about wave runners. You guys really handle a lot of injuries around this area, don't you?
Around the area in St. Louis, as well as mid-Missouri, Lake of the Ozarks, Kansas City, Springfield, Cape Girardeau, so pretty much the whole state. We also handle cases in Illinois and Arkansas, but predominantly it's Missouri.
Okay, so when it comes to boater safety, I mean, this is something that if you've been injured, okay, or if you know somebody that's been injured and they need to make sure they're well represented, then they need to call Schultz Myers right away. Get a hold of you guys. You can, you know, phone number for you guys. What's the best number to reach you guys?
314-444-4444.
And I love your website at schultzmyers.com. So SCHULTZMYERS.com. So schultzmyers.com. You guys have a lot of great information on there on so many different topics. I would highly encourage everybody to visit that if you want to learn more about the subject. So let's jump back into when it comes to boating and wave runners. With insurance, I want to know a little bit more. So you said that homeowners insurance is a coverage that's typically going to cover you if you have a wave runner or a boat.
Only if you have an endorsement for that line of coverage. So just because you have homeowners insurance doesn't mean it's going to cover your wave runner unless you call, let's say you have State Farm. You've got to call State Farm and say, look, I also just bought a wave runner. Here's the VIN number. Here's where I'm going to moor it and keep it. And I promise and pledge to have anybody who uses it be properly licensed.
Okay. And what about, I guess if somebody doesn't have a house, if they're a renter, what would they do to cover it then?
Still have a renter's policy. You can have a renter's policy. You're talking about if you're renting like an apartment or something?
Yeah,
like
if somebody
that
rents an apartment, but they have a boat.
Sure. So renter's policy, you can have an endorsement as well on there.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So they just up the price of it to make sure that that's covered.
You got
and
it.
If they have the VIN, then they're going to know enough about the boat or the wave runner to know how many horsepower. And I'm assuming all of those things affected.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So, Tammy, do you know anybody that, you know, quite a few people that have boats? Have you seen these situations come up quite a bit?
What's that to have?
Well, situations with accidents and...
Oh, yeah. Tubing. I mean, Stephen on the break talked about tubing. I mean, accidents happen with that too. People get out there and think they can do it and... It doesn't work that way all the time.
And the wave runners now are so powerful that they can haul, you know, tubers and skiers now. You
right.
don't need to buy a ski boat to haul right. tubers and skiers. So you just got a recipe for some dangerous
some
outcomes
disaster.
Unless you know what you're doing.
So we did talk a little bit before about who enforces the laws. And I thought you had brought up an interesting fact before, and that was breathalyzer when you're drinking out on the boat or on the wave runner.
Right. So if you're on land, typically an officer can't pull you over just to give you a breathalyzer.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be another reason for it.
Right.
So
like
some sort of probable cause to
correct.
Pull you over.
Exactly. Well, you automatically consent to a breathalyzer when you're on a boat. So if you're operating mm-hmm. a boat in the state of Missouri on a waterway, river or lake, you automatically consent to a breathalyzer. So you can be pulled over for no other reason, only other than to be breathalyzed and administered a BAC test by an officer.
And will they administer it right there on the boat?
Absolutely. Yep. They'll give you they'll do the test with the hand-eye coordination, then they'll actually give you the actual breathalyzer test itself.
Okay.
And if you're found to be over 0.08, they will tow your boat behind the water patrol boat to the nearest dock and tie it up for you and take you to Jefferson City.
Interesting. So that's a nice, like from Lake of the Ozarks, that's a nice drive.
Correct. Yeah. And then you've got to have somebody come get you from Jeff City. So
nice.
And then do you get your driver's license suspended the same as if you're on a road?
No. So right now, your driver's license is not intertwined with your ability to operate a boat. So they don't mm-hmm. take away your driver's license itself. Okay. So
okay.
if you have what's called a BUI, a boating while intoxicated, mm-hmm. boating under the influence on the Lake of the Ozarks or another river, that would not involve taking away your driver's license if
okay.
you were convicted of mm-hmm. that.
Interesting. Okay. But they would take away your boating license. Well, I guess you don't even have a boating license if you're born before 1984.
That's correct. Right.
Okay. So is it more about just a fine?
It's more of a civil penalty. Correct.
Okay. All right.
Right.
Well, that's good to know. But I did not know that you consent to a breathalyzer automatically. And if you won't take one, what's the penalty then?
Taken to Jeff City and arrested. Yeah.
Right. You're automatically arrested. You don't have a chance of being innocent at that point.
That's correct.
Okay.
Much different than when you're in, you know, behind the wheel of an automobile.
And what about the size difference with boats? Is there any different liability depending on the size or number of horsepower?
Well, you know, the insurance requirements are a little different. Typically, with boats that are longer and more horsepower, you have to have them surveyed to allow your insurance company to make sure that that boat is under proper maintenance and good repair in order for them to insure it. But typically, you know, as far as coverages are concerned, Doug, you need to make sure you have adequate liability coverage because, as we were discussing on the break, the injuries that are caused are just always significant. They're always catastrophic. They're involving propellers, you know, chopping into skin. They're involving fractures. They're involving brain injuries. You know, anything involving a boat and an accident is very rarely a simply walk away unscathed injury.
That's scary.
So what do you do if you're involved in an accident on the water? What are some things, if I were to hire you as a personal injury, what should I have done on the water if an accident happens?
It's a great question. Typically, just like what you would do on land, get a report involved, get the Highway Patrol, the Water Patrol involved, right. Have them write a report that will help us figure out what happened at the scene because we weren't there as attorneys only.
Right.
How do you get a hold of the Water Patrol on you when you're on the water?
The same way you would from dialing emergency services on land.
Okay, yeah, so you dial 911.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. And they'll dispatch a boat to your location and emergency services. Actually, what Water Patrol will do is if there's an emergency situation and somebody's badly hurt, typically Water Patrol will transport that injured person to the nearest area of land, and there'll be an ambulance sitting there waiting for you. But the biggest situation we see as lawyers in these cases are what insurance coverage is going to cover your injuries, because it's hard to figure out, you know, who's got endorsements on their policies,
right. Or
if there's excess coverage, because like I said, the injuries are usually severe, so you have to make sure as an attorney to make sure that we uncover all the insurance available to cover you in the claim.
Now, is this where an umbrella policy is a good idea?
Absolutely, and we've talked about that before, Doug. You know, these umbrella policies are not a lot of money, and if you're going to own wave runners, gosh, I can't think of a more important situation to go buy one, because, you know, if you loan your wave runners out, the risk of serious injury is there, and you're going to be on the hook for that.
Okay, can you give us an idea of a case that you've handled over the last couple of years involving a boat or a wave runner, the type of injury and the type of settlement that was associated with it?
Sure. Well, a couple of those settlements are confidential, but I'll tell you the typical fact pattern that is involved,
right,
that I see quite a bit is two friends on wave runners. One is the owner of the wave runner, and the other is a friend of that owner. And most people who own wave runners at the lake own more than one, and because they want to go out there with their buddies, right?
Sure.
So it's typically people in that situation and kids that are running into each other on two wave runners, or somebody's in the water swimming and another person in a wave runner runs that person over, whether at low speed or high speed. And that's a big situation. Another situation we see is people involving wave runners is following other boats too closely.
Mm-hmm.
And there's blind spots. You know, if you're coming around a boat on a wave runner trying to jump their wake and it's a big cruiser, you can't see what's on the other side of that wake. And they're running into each other in midair.
Oh, yeah.
There's people in the water that have already fallen off wave runners that are getting run over by that person. So it's typically that situation that is involved.
Right.
There's not a whole lot of boat versus boat crashes.
Right.
There's not.
Right.
The majority of them are wave runner versus boat or wave runner versus person or dock.
Right.
That happens.
Interesting.
Well, that's scary. So what type of settlements do you see? I mean, just the range of them that you see in these situations.
They can typically be upwards of $100,000 because, like I said, the injuries are so significant.
Serious.
You know, if you're look at it this way. If you're injured on a wave runner and you break your leg, you're going to usually, the expenses to do, you know, to be treated for that are going to range in $10,000 to $20,000 to $30,000, depending on if there's hardware inserted to repair the leg. And so you're up towards $100,000 to $200,000 worth of potential damages. And if you're involving somebody who's younger, there's future concerns too of arthritic conditions caused by that fracture. So there's just a litany of potential future damages. And so the settlements can range pretty high pretty quick. And if you don't have adequate insurance, you know, we've got to look to other assets of yours to satisfy the value of the claim.
Well, and then if there's a wrongful death, I'm assuming the bill could go way up.
Way up. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't even know how they put a number on that.
I don't know.
It's hard to. There's no magic formula, but you know, there's some guiding factors, and that they're always big numbers.
Well, I tell you what, if you're in that situation, if you know somebody that's in that situation, there are a lot of boats out on the water, there are a lot of wave runners in the water, accidents are going to happen. You need to make sure that you get good advice in that situation. Reach out to Stephen Schultz with Schultz Myers Law Firm, and you get in touch with one of their attorneys right away, and just make sure that you're well represented. You can go to SchultzMyers.com or call 314-444-4444 and get a hold of Stephen right away. Stephen, if you have time to stick around, because we have the angle on this show when it comes to money. Okay, we've talked about all the liability that you cover, but you're also a boat owner. So from the personal finance side, I want to have a conversation about the cost of owning a boat or the cost of owning a wave runner. And what does that actually add up to on a yearly basis or a monthly basis that you have to think about? We'll cover that when we return. You're listening to the Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.